with a kind of terrible shame. John, he asked us to pray with him. And we fell asleep. Well, that's what it is to be human, eh? So he now returns to his place of prayer. He's had two complete hours of prayer. Agony of going through each of these stages. We might have thought that as we've listened, and as an angel has come, and we dread to think what would have happened if the angel had not come. Just one angel out of a legion of 12,000. 12 legions of angels, or is it 72,000? Just one angel. What would have happened had not the angel come? And what did the angel speak about? So the third hour. Now, the third hour, we may think we prayed, all right, you and I. We prayed with tears running down our faces. We prayed with our fists clenched, asking for help or saying what we've got to say. We've done that. We prayed maybe ourselves, stretched out. We've done that. But we haven't prayed. Not like Jesus in the third hour. It says, and there fell from him his sweat, as it were, like great drops of blood. This is for your salvation and for mine. This is what he was doing for us, that we might be redeemed. Eh? That's what he's going for. Now, the draining process of 3 hours of prayer must have been terrible. But it isn't like that. At the end of the 3 hours of prayer, when he returns to the three, still sleeping, and now they're sort of coming to, he says, sleep on now. Take your rest. Arise and let us be going. So it's quite clear, he doesn't mean go back to sleep. He's just saying, don't trouble yourself further about what I've said. Arise and let us be going. Now the transformation. And this is staggeringly wonderful. He arises from his prayer. You'll expect now that his perspiration, and his body all limp. It's not like that. It is now entirely different. He walks out of the garden, or out of the place of prayer, into the other parts of the garden, and just as he does that, there they're coming. Not before, not after, just at that moment. What we shall follow as we go through is that the whole of the proceedings are now, all of them, in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not now subject to the vagaries of people and, you know, what they might or might not do. It's not like that at all. Here they come, three lots of people in one. Maybe four lots of people. One, Roman soldiers. A band of soldiers. Two, the temple guards sent by the Pharisees and the elders, scribes. Three, the multitude. They got staves and torches and lamps and every conceivable thing, a great multitude come down. And then we have this extraordinary situation. Just one man steps forward. The Lord Jesus Christ. It's almost as though a hush falls over all of them. Whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. And then it says, and they all fell backwards. The Roman soldiers, the guards, the people, they fell backwards. What's happened to Jesus? There must now be about his mien a majesty and a power quite beyond them altogether. Of course, they may have been afraid he was going to do miracles and blight them, like Elijah did with the 50 soldiers, you know, three times, or twice, and nearly a third time. But it wasn't that at all. He just says two words to us. Ego, eimi, I am he. That's all. And they fall backwards. They come up again, and it's repeated. Until he says, it almost seems to invite arrest. In fact, in a way he does, because the man who brought them now steps forward. He wasn't the first to speak, it was Jesus. Jesus now is the master of the situation. So Judas comes forward and kisses him. And the word is, kisses him much. You know, this wasn't just a kiss. It was a signal that he'd given, but he made sure they all saw the signal. And then Jesus says, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? There's something terrifying about that. Lots of people have betrayed Christ with a kiss. Lots of people. But never quite in these circumstances. And so he said, if you come for me, arrest these others. Let them go. Don't arrest these others. Let them go. And so they now come to the moment of forsaking Jesus Christ in the hands of this mob, the Son of God. No angels now. Where's the lame man that was healed? Where's the blind man? Where are all these people that have been taken by Christ and made whole? Where are they? Not a single voice. They all forsook him. He stands all together now, completely and totally alone. The 11 they're running away, but you see they haven't got a leader and there's nowhere to go. And when the light of the world walked out of Gethsemane, it was very dark. We can be infinitely sorry for those men. They're a lot better than you and I. A lot better. We'd never have made it that far. There are Judases about in all kinds of places. But there's only one Lord. Jesus never called. Judas never called Jesus Lord. That was his mistake. Never used the word. Ever. He never got that far. And so for you and for me as we leave the garden, oh, the virgin oil is all ready now. And the light has never gone out. And the Son of Man has now many who both worship and adore him, and have promised to follow him. And may we endure until he comes. And it will not be a mob of Roman soldiers, not be the temple guard, it will not be some filthy mob of people. It will be with all the angels of heaven. Heaven will be empty of angels. Think of the day. Just think of it. It says all the holy angels, Matthew 25, 31. Take it. As though the Father says, and now go, all of you. All of you. And they will come with the Son of God. We want to do something else sometimes. But we don't make the resolve, or we neglect this or that. Let us just now, having been in Gethsemane, and having seen the Lord and his wondrous victory, he's already king. Let's just follow him, finally, to where he will lay down his life victoriously.
Again, brothers and sisters, just a short break. We have about 10, 12 minutes then to be back in our places, ready to have our third session at 11 o'clock.